tell you what, even though I'm teaching today, as we do basically every week, the best part of the service is the worship. The best part of the service is being in the presence of God. You can't substitute for that. I mean, we went, what, like 50 minutes today? I'm looking forward to the day where God's presence is just so strong and He comes in so powerfully that we've been here for like 4 hours and we think it's like 4 minutes. And we just get caught up in that. It's going to happen one day, amen? He's training us. He's getting us there where we're just so enthralled with Him. Maybe we have a message, maybe we don't. But when you've met Him, I tell you what, as He said today, He just touches your soul. And he just puts one touch from Him is better than 30 minutes preaching from me or 30 hours preaching from me. And teaching's good. It does point us in a direction. But there's just no substitute for Him. He's just awesome. Let's just pray real quick. Father, we just thank You. There's so much in my head. There's no way I can share all that's in my head. So, Father, I pray today, what do we need for today? In Jesus' name, no more, no less. And I just pray blessings on every person here. I pray this week they grow closer to You than they've ever been. I pray that they hear You clearer than they ever have. If they've never heard Your voice before, I pray they hear it today, this morning. And grow in every way to see You, to be enthralled by You, to be passionate about You. In Jesus' name, amen. This week, before we get into teach this week with the election on Tuesday, I follow the news. It looks like there could be potential chaos no matter who wins. So let me just tell you this. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Okay, I mean, be safe, be smart. We live in a relatively safe area. But just realize He has got this thing, as Sean said at the beginning. This country and its direction is in His hands. And it's going to work out one way or the other. So, as I've often said, I'll say it again, do not react. Respond. React is the first thing that comes up in your soul, first thing that comes up in your emotions, you know, frustration, depression, exuberation, if it's your side, whatever it is. Don't do that. Respond. Go, Holy Spirit, what is happening? And let me respond by Your Spirit. Let's just resolve now. We're going to walk with the Prince of Peace no matter what happens between now and next time we see each other. And His kingdom is moving forward. His kingdom will win. As we said last week, at least 170,000 Christians are becoming saved every day all around the world, mostly outside America and Western Europe. But we're going to see a great awakening here. And it's going to happen, and His kingdom's moving forward. A lot of times we live in this bubble of the Western world where atheism is on the rise, witchcraft's on the rise, Wicca's on the rise, humanism, which is just I'm going to live however I want to live, is on the rise. We think that's the whole world. It's not. Right now, America is in a vice grip, and He's seeing which way we're going to go. But this is what I'm going to say. Us here, me, speak for you here. We're going to follow hard after Him, and we're going to see things in our lifetime that we've never seen before. I honestly believe that. I believe before this thing's over with, we're going to flow in the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to talk about the 9 fruits, or sort of the fruits today, about the 9 fruits. He is raising up a spiritual army that is every bit as much light as there is spiritual darkness. He really is. God will not be upstaged. And I want to believe that I'm just going to keep following hard after Him and be one of those. As Sean referenced earlier over here on the right side as you come in, is this thing. Our goal is not to be a church per se. Our goal is to raise up special forces Christians. Especially, there's a certain branch called the Delta Force. I've talked about it before. I won't go into it again today. But we picked the Delta Force. as opposed to the Green Berets. The Delta Force are the ones that have no rank. They wear no external uniforms. They usually go in and recon. And so today, we're all Christians. Yes, we do things before the Lord, but we're not big on titles. We're just big on doing what God's called us to do. And we can dress however. He is raising us up to be passionate, skilled, tenacious disciples. And before this thing is over with, and it's even happening now, witchcraft, Wicca, humanism, there's going to be people crying out, going, Have you ever noticed the supernatural is on the rise? It is. And it's because it's been abandoned in the church, and most Christians have never seen the supernatural. They've never seen a miracle. They've never heard God's voice. I was taught when I first got saved, you can't hear God's voice except from reading the Bible. They've not seen a miracle. They've not been prophesied over. They've not been prophesied over people. In a few weeks, when I finish talking about this subject, we've always taught the class on how to prophesy on Sunday mornings at 9 before church service. Well, I'm going to actually take 3 or 4 weeks and teach it here on a Sunday morning. Just make sure everybody gets it. And so, but I think all of you, if you've not seen prophecy, you've experienced it, if you've not even given it. Because see, to Christianity, most people, Christianity is boring. The reason it is boring is because they're not following Holy Spirit. You're following a form. I'm not saying they're being rebellious, but they're just doing the best they know how. You know, in this area, when the Lord first moved me here to start this church, I was just blown away by how the Holy Spirit was just never talked about. God the Father was some. Jesus Christ the Son was. And we talked a lot about the Bible, and I'm all into the Bible, okay? It's the inerrant Word of God. I have no problem with the Bible. But very little the Holy Spirit was talked about. And the Lord said, this is why you're called here. Start making a little, rock in the water. Try to do some ripples. Because He is Lord too. He is one of the Trinity too. And when you say, wake up every morning, because He's the one that's actually inside of us, we say, invite Jesus into your heart. And I don't have a problem with that. But that technically is not true. You invite Holy Spirit into your heart, and because of the work Jesus Christ did on the cross 2,000 years ago. And He's not hung up on whether we pray to Holy Spirit, Father, Jesus. He's going to respond to anything. But the Holy Spirit is what's inside of us to comfort us and to teach us. And when you follow Holy Spirit, some of you may go, why does He say Holy Spirit instead of the Holy Spirit? If you didn't hear that sermon about maybe a year ago, I've always said the Holy Spirit. Let's invite the Holy Spirit, whatever. And the Holy Spirit goes, I'm a person too. We don't go, hey, the Amy Holcomb. the Max Castleman. Why was I going, hey, the Holy Spirit? We go, Amy, Max. And He said, it's not a big deal. It's not like a sin or anything. And when I just started calling Him Holy Spirit, it made it even more personal. Realizing He's a person. But if you wake up every morning and go, Holy Spirit, I invite You to be a part of my day today. Holy Spirit, if You want to speak to me, let me be sensitive enough to what You're saying that I can hear from You. And I'm telling you, your life, when you start doing that, your life as a Christian is never boring. When people say, I went to a boring church, or I was in boring... I've been saved. I've invited Jesus into my life. But it's just boring. That tells me they're not talking to Holy Spirit. Because when you talk to Him, it is never boring. Now, it may not always be fun. He's often challenging us. Why? Because He knows we're sons of the Father. And He's making us grow up to be sons of the Father. I got one son, two daughters, one son. He's in the middle up here in the front. He got all my hair. When he was born, I used to have hair. Somewhere in the 18 years, it transferred from me to him. The price you pay as a father. Anyway, what was my point? I had some point. So he's the perfect son. He never does anything wrong. But every once in a while, like every 3 or 4 years, I have to say, to be successful, you need to do this. Now, he's 18, senior in high school. Really, at this age, he doesn't have to do it. All you can do is warn him and say, if you don't do this, you're not going to be successful. The Holy Spirit does the same thing with us. He'll come along and try to correct us and guide us, not because He's mad or sad over us, but He goes, I want you to be successful. I want you to get the full inheritance that I have given you. As I said last week, let me review this. We talked about the Israelites in the desert. They were supposed to go into the promised land. They stayed in the desert for 40 years. Now in the desert, they never had to cook. They had food. I guess manna tastes good. I don't know. But they always had something. Their clothes never wore out. They never got sick. Their vision was always good. No enemies ever attacked them. But it said, as I talked about last week, I apologize, I don't remember the passage. He said, they have grieved me because of their unbelief. They said, because they would not believe for the full inheritance of going into the promised land. As a result, they won't get their full inheritance. And as a result, they won't enter into my rest. You can be blessed, but not have the Prince of Peace give you rest. I tell you what, that is not a good trade-off. And much of the church in America has food. They have the money to go buy new clothes. They can go to the doctor most of the time and get healed. But they refuse to listen to the Holy Spirit for the full inheritance, which first starts with Him. None of us in here want that. I know, you wouldn't be here. We're going after the full thing. And when you do this, it's adventurous. They had to attack 39 cities. And they didn't die. But it's still scary marching around Jericho at a wall that would do 2 to 3 chariots wide all the way around. You know, they were just like little ants. They were even yelling from the top. You look like ants in our eyes. Christians today, in terms of America and the West, when I say the West, I'm basically talking about Western Europe, Australia, is looking at us and going, you have nothing we want. But if they knew what you get when you get into the rest of the Holy Spirit, the rest of Jesus, hear His voice on a daily basis in peace, and your family starts to come together in some health, and it's starting to turn. People's going, we have followed our humanistic ways. Humanism just means my religion is I do whatever I feel like I want to do. I'm the final arbiter, and that's basically America. Even most Christians are that way. We'll show up on church, but when it comes to lordship issues, you can be saved and He's not your Lord. Your lordship issues is where He says, are you just going to be saved and be in the desert, or do you want me to be Lord? And it's not always easy. When I was 24, I just graduated as an engineer from Georgia Tech, which is obviously in Atlanta. I grew in Atlanta. Grew up in Atlanta. I wanted to stay in Atlanta. I love big cities. I didn't want a yard. I wanted a condo. The higher up in a skyscraper, the more exciting that would be. I tried to find a job. It was 1984. It was the highest recession till this year, since the Great Depression. I couldn't find a job anywhere. Even if it wasn't a recession, God did not want me in Atlanta. How many of you ever had that? Going, okay, here's my desires, but it's the doors are closing and it's not happening. So I start praying, and it became, make a long story short, I get a job offer to work at a nuclear plant in Augusta, Georgia. Nuclear plants are not in the city. It was 45 minutes south of Augusta, which isn't that big of a city. It's about the size of Chattanooga, in the middle of the woods. Why? Because it's a nuclear plant. Do you want a nuclear plant next to your house? So they put it in the middle of nowhere. And I'm like, okay, this is as far from my desires as I possibly could have been. And that's, God just does that sometimes. Why? Because He knew eventually, if I would submit to His will, in the end, I would be happier than if I had done my will. Even if I wasn't, it comes down to, is He Lord or am I Lord, even though I keep my salvation? And that's one of the biggest issues for Christians today. Is He going to be Lord or am I going to be Lord? And you can be Lord without losing your salvation. You don't rebuke it. You know, you're not saying I want to go to hell or I don't believe that you're the Son of God. That is a major issue of Christianity right now. And you see all this convulsing in our country. So anyway, we do that. I leave the big city. I just I obeyed God, but I'm not sure how much of it was obeying God, and I needed to pay the bills. You know, sometimes He forces you somewhere because He knows your will is not always the best. But I went. Four years ago? It had never dawned on me. So that was, I was 24, I'm 60. So that was a long time ago. I'm an old guy. And so 4 years ago, I was in Atlanta in one of these sky rises taking a class on software programming, because that's what I do for a living. Taking a class on it, and I just, and down the hallway, all the way down the hallway, were these black and white pictures of all these capitals around the world. Sometimes we're just slow. That's why it's good to wake up every morning and go, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? Enlarge my understanding. It says in James 1:1, pray for wisdom and revelation. Every morning get up and go, Father, I want to be wiser. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. I want revelation. Revelation is just a download that you can't get on your own. It's just like, oh, wow, that's a cool thought. Where did that come from? If you get a cool thought, almost always it's the Holy Spirit. You know, I used to take credit for it, and then I realized, you know, I'm really not that good. You know, that's just Him popping up. Because he can speak to you of intuitions, impressions, even angels. I've never had it talk to an angel, never had an angel show up. But it's in the Bible, and I know some of you have. But at that low level, He can just give you cool thoughts. So anyway, so I'm walking down this hallway and seeing all these black and white pictures of cities around the world. They did not show what city they were. As I walked down, most of them I had been to, and I recognized. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's this city, that's that city, this city, this is that city. I'm still slow. And the Lord goes, at 24, you sacrificed to live in a big city. And I was 56, so we're talking 30 years later. He said, if you had done that and stayed there, I would have blessed you where I could, but that's all you would have ever seen. But because you kept following me, you recognized most of those cities. I'm telling you, whatever you give up, I mean, I've been in almost every major capital of Western Europe, some of Eastern Europe, Prague, Sofia, Lagos, Nigeria, Kenya. And I say all this because I'm trying to make a point. Bogota, Colombia, Kathmandu, Nassau, Bahamas, other capitals, Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. The Lord said, because you gave that up and followed my will, I allowed you to see 28 countries so far and counting. I'm telling you, whatever you give up for the Lord or whatever is hard, He will never owe you. He will never... Yes, there's sacrifice. Yes, there's price to be a son. But in the end, His inheritance always outweighs whatever you gave up. And when you do that, sure, sometimes it's hard. It was hard for me to go and do this. It was even harder to move from Augusta to Dalton. I knew the Lord was going to be calling me to start a church. All right, this is my... I'm still slow. How many of you are slow sometimes catching on what Holy Spirit's doing? I was still slow. I was in Augusta for 10 years. I was assistant pastor. Now I was working as an engineer full-time, but I worked in smaller churches mostly. And I was assistant pastor for most of those years, learning, and I knew the Lord was training me to start a church. All right. I felt Him say, it's time. You're going to be leaving Augusta. All right. What big city do I get to go to? So I went from a city of 500,000 to a city of 100,000 that I hardly even knew where Dalton was, even though I grew up in Atlanta. But it's all cool. I love this area. I love what God does. And this is what I'm going to say. When you follow the Holy Spirit, you will never, whatever you give up, He will always return it more in ways that you never thought you would get. When I gave up Atlanta, I never thought I'd go to all these other countries and cities. I mean, that wasn't even on my scale. I couldn't think that big. Holy Spirit, the Father, Jesus is thinking that big for you. And I just want to remind you, because I know this year has been a tough year, as Sean said. Whatever dreams you've had, whatever visions you've had, whatever prophecies you've had over your life, if you keep following Him the best way you know how, they will come about. Now, I've never had one of them come about the way I thought they were going to come about when I got the word. It just never has happened. But when it's happened, it's always been better than what I thought it would be. But I didn't have the grid work to think that way when it happened. But when it happened, I knew, okay, this is a fulfillment. So you just keep following after Holy Spirit. And no matter what happens, He will always do right by you, because His eyes are searching to and fro over the whole earth for someone whose heart is after Him. You don't have to do it perfectly. If you do something stupid, say, Father, that was stupid. I repent. Have mercy on my soul and get back in alignment with Him. And whose heart is after Him that He can strongly support, as 2 Chronicles says. I want to cover today, I've already talked quite a bit of time, but we'll probably finish up. That's why we got next week. We've been talking about these four A's quite a bit on and off this year. These were words the Lord told me to do. We don't have time to review them all. But the three that are not in italics is the ones we've been talking about this year. I started last week reviewing it because it's been 6 months and we talked about it. At the first of the year, the Lord, He used the word focus. Later, He gave me the word alignment. He said 2020. This is at the beginning of 2020. He said this year, we used focus and then used alignment later because it made sense better. He said, what I'm doing in the body of Christ today is aligning those that want to be aligned spirit, soul, and body with me. All right, that's awesome. Well, this has been one of the hardest years ever, especially if you lost your job or if you knew somebody that got COVID, or me a month ago, I end up in the hospital for 9 days and have a near-death experience. It's not something that is fun. But He's been aligning us with Him. We talked quite a bit about this review last week, because He is increasing. Once, as we get aligned with Him, and this is what we're supposed to be doing. What is our calling? How we're supposed to act towards people. How we're supposed to behave towards people. It could be as little as my response towards my wife or husband or my kids is not right. He's aligning these things, and as He aligns them, His presence grows in us, and His authority in those areas grow. Wherever He is asking you to align or to change, how many of you have had Him tweak stuff in you this year, whether you obeyed or not? Hopefully every one of you said, yeah. As fast as, let me just tell you, if He's asking you to tweak something, don't ignore it, because He never forgets. If He's asking you to tweak something, don't think, maybe I'll do it, maybe I'm not. This is a time He's just sort of nagging. Can God nag? I don't know if He nags, but I guess He doesn't nag. But He doesn't forget. He'll keep coming back. But wherever He's asking you to tweak, it's because He wants to anoint you to be stronger in that area. He's wanting to give you more authority over it in that area. He's asking you to tweak it because He's saying, you've got as much authority and anointing as I can give you right now. But if you'll allow these untouched areas or areas that need to change to be touched, I can increase more of me in that area so you'll be even more effective with less work. Now, one of the things He's been doing, as we talked about in that last part, this is a big picture arc, and we'll talk about it again in the future. It's nice that I'm not a one-time speaker today. We can keep bringing it up and going through it. Is there two arcs in the Old Testament? The Ark of the Covenant, which was all about His presence, and the Ark, Noah's Ark, which was about safety. He is building us to be arcs in Northwest Georgia, to be carriers of His presence. Because I'm telling you, this world is starting to get the fill of themselves. And one of the major ways I've seen it is in the area of relationships. When you follow your own thing and you say, I'm going to do what feels good or what feels good to me, eventually your relationships break down, because it takes a lot of sacrifice to be a husband or wife or father or good friend. It just does. It's worth it, but it's not easy. And the world, especially in this area, I have never seen so many messed up relationships. I'm not going to get specifics in case you've been into that, so that no condemnation comes on you. But it's amazing, some of these messed up relationships. But He is setting us up to be a people that is a safe place that we can get healing and wholeness and start repairing some of these things. Amen? And so the last one, the assignment, I got it last month. We haven't gone over it. We'll get there. The Lord had given me 3 A's. And I said, Lord, a lot of times the Lord gives me the words for next year around the start of the Jewish New Year, which was in the middle of September. It's also called Rosh Hashanah. I said, Lord, if you want to give me a word for 2021, he did and gave me some details on it, and we'll talk about it. But he said, if for those that have allowed themselves to be aligned or doing the best, it's probably a lifetime job, but especially this year, I'm going to increase my authority. I'm going to make the ark happen by giving you assignments. And so I heard that in September, and so we'll get there. These are things he's going to speak to you about how to share his presence, about how to be a place of safety, of maybe even doing some of the alignments with others that he's done with you. It's going to be, this year was a year of working on us. Next year's, he's always going to do that, but next year's going to be a year of starting to release us. And so I want to talk about alignment in the next just 10, 15 minutes and come back to this subject. One of the things he is really working on in alignment, and it's probably a lifetime thing, is character. Character, being a charismatic, spirit-filled church, in churches like ours, you always hear about the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Miracles, healings, discernment, they're all in... I'm not going to read the verse, but they're all in 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 4. Prophecy, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, miracles, healings, faith, discernment, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and faith. I got 10. Anyway, you get the idea. First, I said something twice, didn't I? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. We're all into that. We believe for that. Like I said, sometime soon we'll talk about just... that one gift, prophecy. Why that one gift? Because it says in 1 Corinthians 14, eagerly desire the gifts at the beginning of the chapter and the end of the chapter. It says it twice, but especially prophecy. Why? Because he wants us to encourage people. Prophecy is to encourage people. Sometimes we have these weird Old Testament beliefs, especially if you're from a Pentecostal background, that it's judgment and call down rain. Well, 1 Corinthians 14, 2 says it's to encourage people, build them up, console them. And so, because he wants to show people that's his nature. Okay, how many of you from Luke 3:21? I'm not going to read it. I normally read it because I spent so much time. I don't want to. But it says, when Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened up, Luke 3:21, and a dove, which was representative of Holy Spirit, came and rested on Jesus. If you remember that story, if you've been to Sunday school, if not, you just heard it. And it was the Holy Spirit an actual dove? No. But it was a metaphor of what he was like. And God always uses symbols, and we need to pay attention to the symbols. All right, a dove has 2 wings. What did Holy Spirit bring? 9 gifts and 9 fruits. And to be balanced Christians that are special forces, we want to be awesome. We're not there yet, but it's our goal. Be awesome at all 9. Not even close, at least I'm not, to the 9 gifts. But I still believe for it and go after it. We want to be awesome at the 9 fruits. Otherwise, you're a one-winged bird and you're just going to go around in circles. I was a part of a church, a whole string of churches, when I grew up that heavily emphasized the fruits. It was great. But they didn't even believe in the gifts. Okay, that's good training. When I got in the charismatic church at 25, all they ever talked about forever was the 9 gifts. And that's great. But guess what? I've seen some of the kookiest people do prophecies that were God. I've seen some of the kookiest people that God used in the fruit, in the gifts. But my God, I'm not letting them alone with my kids. I'm exaggerating, but you get what I'm saying. And then I get some of the best people that didn't believe in the gifts. I'd let my kids go spend the night with them. I'm believing for, as John 4:23 and 24 says, the day is coming and now is when the worshipers shall worship in spirit and in truth. I want to fly straight. And so one of the things about being aligned, and we don't talk about it much in this church, that's why I'm bringing it up now, is we want the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Holy Spirit is in Galatians 5. Let me just read them so I don't have to try to remember. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against, there's not them, against, there is no law. Against such, there is no law. I want to be a person, the fruits produce high character people. There's all kinds of ways to define character, honesty, integrity. But basically, it's knowing right from wrong and then having the power to live right from wrong. Remember in Acts 1:8, it says, Jesus said, you can't go be witnesses now because you need power. We cannot do the gifts without the power of the Holy Spirit, and we cannot do the fruits without the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we can fake it for a little while. Let's say Amy ticks me off. She's on the front row, and I know her, but she ticks me off. And I'm going, Father, next week, help me to love this girl. I'm making all this up. Help me to love her. I really don't even want to talk to her right now. Help me to at least put on a smile when she comes in, pretend everything's all right. Okay, I might could fake that for a little while, but eventually the real me is going to come out towards her. She'll probably feel an undercurrent anyway. The only way you're going to get love is you say, Holy Spirit, I need your power, not just to do a miracle, but I need your power to love this person that's unlovable right now. And then eventually you'll get to the place you go, I still don't like their behavior, but for some reason I love them. And we need His power. Did you know that a dove, it's interesting, God just doesn't pick symbols haphazardly. Talk about two wings. How many main feathers do you think is on each wing of a dove? There's nine. Good guess. You were listening. Guess how many, now this is probably a jump unless you've heard this. So the dove's wings is the only bird that the wings are curved up towards the head. That's cool because our head is Jesus Christ when it flies. Most birds, doves sort of point down. And then you got the nine fruits and the nine gifts. The tail and each wing keeps it up and, you know, causes it to go up or down. What gives the steering is the tail feathers. Somebody want to take a guess at another gift set of how many tail feathers there are? What did you say?
Five.
The Lord said in Ephesians 4, I give you five gifts to help mature you as a church, apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher. Anyway, what did He say?
He's going to have to go find a dove.
He's going to have to go find a dove. Wow, there's so much to talk about here. I got to reduce this thing. Let me say this real quick, maybe. There's a big difference between fruits and gifts and how you get them. And we want both, right? Fruits are given. I'm sorry. Gifts are given. You really can't do much with it except ask. Character, you have to develop with Holy Spirit. You don't just get patience all of a sudden. You can ask Him for it, help Him for it, but it's not like He gives it to you and you're patient the rest of your life. It develops. Gifts are given, fruits, character is gained. Gifts can be instant. Character takes time. Revelation can be instant. Wisdom, it takes time. If you've seen somebody that is wise, it was not given. It was earned. By making hundreds, if not thousands, if not tens of thousands, depending on how old they are, right decisions over and over and over. See, to get wise or to get a person of character, very rarely is there one decision point. It's deciding, I'm going to live every decision and make the decision what's right or wrong. Now, you have to know what's right or wrong. That's why it's good to hang out with people that know right or wrong. That's why it's good to know the Bible. You can flow, let me tell you, you can flow in miracles and healings and have great gifts, and your life end up being a mess and falling away from the Lord. I have seen so many ministers in my years, you can add up the numbers. They were so much better than me. Communication, speaking, words of wisdom, words of knowledge that are not following God now because they thought the gift was everything and did not work on the other wing. Listen to me. Gifts will get you through the door. The church is bad about this. Somebody's got a great gift, they'll let them use it, not verify their character. They end up being a meteor. Flame up and they flame out quick. Gifts will get you in the door. Listen to me. If you hear nothing else today, listen to this. Gifts will get you in the door. Character will keep you in the room. The number three things they always say that ministers, you, me, anybody, always fall for that cause downfalls. They call them the three G's. Gold, you're after fortune. Girls / guys. Or glory, which is fame and fortune. Not fortune, but fame. Gifts will not keep you from falling, going after girls / guys, gold or glory. Only character will keep you there. All the time making the right decision. And I want to see every one of us here finish well. We want to go after the gifts. I'm not downplaying that. We talk about it a lot. But I also want, in 10 years, us to still be walking together. Amen? Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about this, and we'll close. I got a pile of stuff here on character. Maybe next week we'll see if Holy Spirit wants to emphasize it again. You know, in Proverbs, it says, the little foxes spoil the vine. As I've done counseling and follow people and help people and share, and in my own life, it's the little things that define your success. So if Holy Spirit's asking you to work on some little attitude or some way you relate to somebody else, do it. Character is like compound interest. Y'all know what compound interest is? When you put money in the bank, you get interest. It's low right now, but you still get interest. Even if you don't do anything else with it. Compound interest is this. If you put it in certain types of savings account, you get interest on your money. Compound interest is the next time it gives you interest on your money plus the interest. And it starts compounding. Let me tell you the value of compound interest. If you're 18 years old and for the next 10 years you put $5,000 in the bank, every year for the next 10 years till you're 28, okay? You've put in a total of $50,000 and you stop putting money in. If you can find an investment at 7%, when you retire at 68, it's worth $660,000. And all you did was put in $50,000. Time is what makes compound interest awesome. If you wait till you're 48 and you do it for the next 20 years, so you're putting in $100,000, you don't have that same kind of money. It's nowhere near, it's a couple hundred thousand. Because time is what makes compound interest valuable. Time is what turns character, the little decisions you make in your teens, the little decisions or the big decisions you make in your 20s and 30s. When you're in your 50s and 60s, you'll be a man / woman of God, and people go, how did you get there? You're so wise. Your life's obviously got challenges, but you don't have 48 divorces and 150 kids spread across 5 counties, and your brain's half fried because of all the drugs you did. You go, well, there's no one big decision. It's walking with the Holy Spirit, doing right and wrong as you went along. And so I'm going to pray over the young people, say 25 and under. Because our country, because I'm up into the baby boomers, the education, let me use a nice word. The education system in our country is messed up. Entertainment is messed up. The baby boomers have allowed our country to become no longer a godly nation, but a godless nation. What you have to face as a teenager in 20s, I didn't have to face till I was 20s and 30s. Still had to face them, but it was later. The biggest thing that's keeping everybody, but especially young people, unless you've been raised in a good household, keeping you from being a man or woman of God in your 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s is this concept called moral relativism. Y'all know what that is? Not, I'm going to tell you. It is this. There is no absolute right or wrong. You do whatever feels good at the moment and seems right to you. That's the way it is. If you're in love with this person, sleep with them. If you want to do this, you want to do that, you just fill in the blanks, okay? It's all about how you feel, what you think love is. Let me tell you, this is not judgment, but I'm telling you, you follow this philosophy. It's a philosophy. It's a godless philosophy where you're the king. Your life will end up with me counseling you. When I first came here, I was blown away. This is not normal. It is in this area. By the time 25, I was meeting people who had been married 3 times. Now they don't even marry. They just had 3 partners they lived with. This is not judgment, but I'm telling you, this never ends well. You're never happy. It is a lie. It was the devil what he told Adam, Eve first. Did God really say that? This is where happiness is. It is everywhere. It's on TV. It's in entertainment. I'll take the blame at some generic level that our society has done this. So, to be a Christian in this age, and if you're young people, say 25, 30 and under, it is much harder to be a Christian now than before. I mean, it was always there. I went to a Christian high school. And I had girls want to sleep with me in Christian high school. And then I went to Georgia Tech. Of course, you know, that was hedonism. Even in the 80s, you know, with the fraternities and the sororities. So, but it's even more now. To be a Christian now. See, I want you to see when you're my age. I know you don't ever think you're going to get past 30. But you will. And you're going to go, oh my God, my life's ended. I'm 31. I'm so old and I haven't accomplished anything. Everybody over 30, can you go, yeah? And then you sort of get a grip on it. And then 40 hits. And you're saying dumb stuff like 40 is the new 20. No, 40 is not the new 20. 40, you can't run as fast. You wake up in the mornings and sometimes your joints hurt. It ain't the new 20. That's just you faking yourself out. That doesn't mean it has to be bad. I'm 60. I would never want to be 20 again. Okay, I would want the body of a 20-year-old, but I don't want the wisdom that I had at 20. It just took too hard to get there, okay? But I'm just telling you, as you'll get older, everybody wants, you're happy when you live within the boundaries that God created for you that is outlined by the owner's manual, the Bible. We don't have time to go into it. That's why it's so important to know. The Bible is your owner's manual. Okay, Abigail just got her a new car this week. Well, it's a new used car, 3-year-old car. It comes with an owner's manual. You need to change the oil. It used to be every 5,000 miles. Now they're so sophisticated, it pops up. Change oil, change oil. It's hard to forget because it keeps popping up. Go change oil until it's time to change. But it pops up and change oil. You know, she owns that car. She can do whatever she wants to, and she doesn't have to change the oil. Does she? But if she's wise, she's going to have boundaries and change the oil before it seizes up on I-75. And then she calls me and goes, this car is crap. Why can't they make cars like they used to? Well, did you get any warning lights? Well, there's this little yellow thing kept telling me to change the oil. And you didn't change the oil. Well, it's my car. I can do what I want to. You get the point. That's where we end up in counselor's office or end up in legal offices and going, I should have been able to do this. The Bible gives us boundaries. So I'm trying to bring this to a close. Y'all have been patient for long enough. I want to pray over you because at my age, I pretty much set my patterns. But when you're young, this moral relativism, this call to, you're just an old fuddy-duddy. This call to live pure, you're just a goody-goody. You know, you don't have to live that way. But your engines will seize up somewhere. And then we get mad at God. I've seen it. And we go, why is half my brain burned out? Well, it's because you did crack or meth. Now, we believe in healing. But you better pray for mercy because there's no guarantee. God, I pray for mercy. Heal my brain. Heal my teeth. Heal my whatever. I mean, you see that everywhere. I'm not judging. I'm saying if they could have said no and endured the making fun of, endured the peer pressure. Y'all get where I'm going. We don't need to give any more illustration. Listen, you know that old phrase, pay now, play later? It is so true. But it is not easy. It wasn't easy when I was a teenager. I can't imagine being a teenager. Because you got to go, no, this is the way I'm living. This is my standard. This is what I'm doing. And I'm telling you, you will not regret it. You may lose friends. It may be hard. But if you'll draw biblical boundaries, which is saying, I am going to be a man of character now, you will never regret it. Now, I'm going to give my own illustration, not as a goody two-shoes, but just to give you encouragement. Because if I've been through it, I have the authority to help you get through it. At 13 years old, on the back of a, I'm not going to say the name of the church, but on the back of a traditional church, they didn't believe that you could hear from God. If you've heard this story before, God gives me an open-eyed vision, and I was in rebellion. Basically shows me what my life is going to be like if I keep living away from Him. This is 13. I wasn't even doing so-called bad stuff, but I was making decisions of what I wanted to do that would eventually lead to something else. He showed me what my life would be like down the road. He let me feel the emotions of regret. I don't know why God did this, but it put a good godly fear. I don't want to go there. So when I got married at 25, I was a virgin, which was unheard of then. It's really unheard of now. Now, I'm not saying it was easy, but it was possible. I've never been drunk because I formed boundaries. Of course, then you could drink at 18. I said, and I've done this in my entire life because I've been on business trips. I've been on all over the place where there's social drinking. I had one rule. This was my boundary. Maybe it's not your boundary. Of course, if you're not 21, it's not even an option, okay? You start doing this stuff and you as a Christian and it's illegal, I guarantee you from experience, he will make sure the cops find you. They won't find the unbeliever, but they'll find you. Have you ever done something as a Christian? You go, everybody else is getting away with it, and then you get caught the second time you've done it? That's called God going, you're my son, you're going to get it through the end, and we're just going to do this. But I had this rule, one drink, whatever it is. If it was wine, one glass of wine. Some of you may need to be zero. If I was out with business people and they did hard liquor, I did one shot. If it's one beer, one beer. I've never had more than one drink at any time. I tell you what, you can't get drunk on one drink unless you do go to MAPCO and get the 44-ounce drink and then fill it up with whiskey. Now, that's the boundary I did. I've never had a hangover. Now, I'm not saying I hadn't been tempted. This is the reason I'm saying all this, is it's possible, and it's not just because I was a fuddy-duddy and I'm 60 years old. I grew up in the 70s. Okay, you got moral relativism. We had hippies and Woodstock. And if you can't sleep with the one you want, sleep with the one that's there. You remember that song? I mean, that, you talk to Mike Thompson. This is where weed became... Of course, I didn't call it weed then, but it was just everywhere. Drugs were everywhere, even more than now in the 70s. How many of you was alive in the 70s, or as a teenager in the 70s? There's a few. Am I lying? Oh, man, it's crazy. And so it is possible. I've never done drugs. I'm not saying I haven't been tempted. But I'm telling you this, the older you get, you go, thank God. Thank God. And it is just thank God, because it's almost always just His mercy that gets you through. And I live now, I've not been perfect by any means, but I have no major regrets. You know what I mean by major regrets? You know, those things you go, my God, I wish I could just go back and I hadn't treated, you know, the first three wives the way I treated the first three wives. Or kids that I don't even know because they were with the first mom and they were across the country. You follow what I'm saying? These are major things. Or been in prison because I got a DUI and killed somebody and I was there for manslaughter. Now, I've got, you know, sin, regret. I'm telling you, you can live a life this way. And so if anything else I want to push into you, I want to pray two things. I'm going to pray. We've been a long time, a lot longer than normal, but it's good. Strength to put boundaries around your life, which means you have to learn how to say no. And then second, pray over you a life of power of the Holy Spirit to do it with no regrets. Amen? So if you want me to pray over you, I'd encourage you, if you're 30 and under, 25 and under, just to stand. I'm not going to go walking around. I'm just going to extend my hands to you for strength. Because if I did it, you can do it. And there's many other people in here that's got similar testimonies. I'm not the only one. And you'll become 24, 20, if you're 15 now. When you're 24 or 25, people will go, how do you know so much? I want a life like you. And you go, how do you do it? It's because I spent 10 years saying yes and no to the right things. And you turn around over to him and say, I will walk with you to do that. Amen? Because we want to have both wings of the dove. Why don't everybody just stand? And if this is for you, I'm going to pray over you. If it's you, you know, I'm not going to call you out, but you just say, that's me. I need that. And as you do this, I promise you, just because of the way God works, there will be greater light. Say you're 16. There will be greater anointing and greater light at 16 than when I was 16. Just the way He's working. You'll see miracles. I didn't even believe in miracles at 16. Now it's pretty common, even in churches that don't preach it that much. You will see things happen in your teens and your 20s that is just, you'll be surprised. Plus this, compound interest. I guarantee you, if you give your youth to the Lord instead of to the devil or to yourself, God is gracious. Say you give your life to the Lord in the 50s. He'll be gracious. He'll reap and redeem all that He can. He's a good God, and He can multiply. But if you give Him your youth, especially your teens and 20s, I'm telling you, you'll reap stuff that is almost impossible to get when you start in your 50s. Y'all start talking about what I'm saying, and you will never regret it. Maybe you want to do something besides traveling. Like I went to 28 countries, but whatever it is, you'll look back and go, oh my God, look at the patterns. Look at the stuff. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every young person, however we define that. My age is like 30 and under. I pray for every person. Hallelujah. It's not easy living in a godless, humanistic society. But Father, right now, I pray you give them an encounter with you, a vision of where you want to take them. Place in their heart the things you have for them, that the devil is trying to offer substitutes to short-circuit you early. I pray right now, Father, that they have encounters with you, because that's really, in the end, the only thing that drives them. They can't do it because Craig said it or their mom said it. I pray for encounters all over this place. And we say, Father, our heart and our passion is after you. And we look forward to the inheritance that you have for us. I pray strength to set boundaries and to say no. And to go as far upward, not downward, as they possibly can. I pray over every one of them that when they're 60, I won't be around, but when they're 60, that they'll go, I heard this guy one time say you can live a life of no regrets. And I can testify to it. It wasn't easy. It was hard. But the Lord is faithful. And I've walked every day of my life with Him with no regrets. Father, I pray strength, no boundaries, the ability to say no. And I pray your authority grow in them. First with you to give them power, and then to minister to those who have led their lives for themselves. That now, I mean, it's amazing because of Israel being in high school and brings over a lot of friends, and he just is a friend magnet, Christian, unchristian. I see kids at 16, 17, and they're so messed up, and they know it. You know, they're seeking for something else. I pray that there's bubbles around them of bringing people to a place of encountering their God and finding the rest that they need. And Lord, I commit them to you and to your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. We all sat for a long time today. I appreciate it. Hopefully it was a blessing to you. You guys just have a great time of Holy Spirit this week.